This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back for another episode of Vibe with Five, and it's international break, man. So it's all about England. I know you're buzzing for this one. Myself, Joel Bayer, Rio Ferdinand, and a very happy Stephen Southgate Howson. That's right, Steve. I'll let you kick on with the show, man.
Yet another England game, yet another ball fest. I mean, you go 1-0 down, probably didn't really deserve to 1-0 down, but they didn't deserve to win it either. And you just think, any chance of a pair of bollocks off this guy? It's a friendly, right?
Where did he not show bollocks then?
Make some attacking subs, make some changes. It's just the same old tactic. Why don't we put a couple of forwards on and let's have this a little bit. Try and win the game. Try and maybe have something in your top pocket for if the shit hits the fan in a tournament and you've got the confidence then to change it up and have a bit of a kitchen sink formation should you need it.
My biggest one was just the midfield. It's a perfect opportunity to play your three best midfielders in there. They're all fit. They're all in form. Declan Rice, Jude Bellingham, Foden. I just don't understand why he wouldn't play that.
It's far too attacking for him. He obviously doesn't wants make to sense. Play with like a 6-8-10 sort of combination. And that's not England's best midfield anyway, because he's not got Kobbie Mainoo in it.
Don't get started with that, mate. Just give it a minute.
You said the hype was too much. It was too much. You shouldn't be hyping him this much.
Yeah, because I think you need to give him time.
Do you know what? We were wrong. It wasn't enough.
Yeah, it wasn't soon enough. Do you know what, though? What I said in the group the other day.
Yeah, I saw the meme. We actually have this. I had this chat as well with Irvin from 360 TV, and for once we agree. Like,
Man United performance game is worth probably 5, maybe 10 of most other teams.
Yeah, but I do think that's dangerous sometimes as well, because there's a danger of being overhyped. You need to let the guy's really good, Kobbie Mainoo, by the way. I think he's wicked. Like, no criticism in terms of his performance, but sometimes the hype, you don't want the hype to like be so much, and then, you know, I don't want to say the occasion gets too big for him, because clearly it doesn't when he plays, but let the boy develop and grow, man.
It's, you know what, like, we do all say this, yeah, but we're living in an age where hype is hype, and hype's going to be there whether you like it or not, because there's so many channels to talk from. There's so many different mediums. There's so many platforms for people to talk from, that there's the amount of volume of people's voices that are being heard and pens that are writing down or typing into the machines to get on the paper, is that it's going to be hype whatever you say or not.
But you're one of the biggest issues when it comes to this hype. Like, if you take it back to Ole Gunnar, you know, Solskjaer with a contract.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to give it some time.
Is he really going to go there? The guy who last week came in with a fake cigar, shades on, it was cloudy outside, right? And he paraded that cup, that trophy. Where is it? I don't know where it is.
After we just beat Paris, right?
We'd actually
done something quite crazy.
We just beat Paris Saint-Germain. Beat Paris Saint-Germain in the Champions League.
When did he do it?
Late winner. By the way, what was the run we was on, by the way, as well? He was like unbeaten away from home or something.
Like 40 wins in 15 or something.
So you don't reckon, sign it now, get it out now. You don't reckon that was over the top, no?
No, I reckon I was over the top, along with probably 95% of our fan base.
Okay, but this is what I'm saying, right? You see, you don't like to take the bullet by yourself, do you?
This is football.
This is what I'm saying, like, you...
Glassist of glass houses, honestly.
No, but I'm saying though, Rio, like, and I think sometimes, how many times have you done this, Rio? You love the hype.
3% of the league last year, shades, cake.
You're there, and it wasn't even a group, it wasn't even knockout stages yet. Hyping Phil Foden, like, Phil Foden for England.
For what?
Wait, like this whole Saka Foden thing, like, it's you.
Saka Foden thing?
Yeah.
Bro, I got asked, is Saka world class? I said what I said, and I got asked about Phil Foden. I said what I said. Well, I'm answering questions. It's not like I instigated the whole conversation. I was asked, answered in an honest manner.
Well, anyway, I like Phil Foden, but for England, he's just not doing it. What did you think of his performance, by the way?
Before you go into that, do you not think that England don't play his specific position? I know you can
what position is it then?
Play a 4-3-3, but they don't play the same level of 4-3-3. You're expected to be a more box-to-box number 8 if you play for England, whereas City, they play with 2 10s.
Yeah, no, and I agree with that, but what I'm saying is, every time he puts on an England shirt, we're saying this guy's a world-class player, right? Are we saying that the system has failed him and it's never him? Because we've seen him during international tournaments, when Saka's been in the team as well. We've seen him.
Saka plays his position that he plays for his club. And I love that. And I like that. And I'm thinking to myself,
where does Phil Foden really play, though,
Gareth
Rio?
Gareth Southgate has sat there and said, I think he said once that he's not playing central for his club, so I can't pick him. He's played central for his club this season, been arguably one of the best players in the league.
So what, do you put him ahead of Jude Bellingham?
I never said that.
I'm asking you.
Why are you going to mention Jude Bellingham when he's probably one of the first 1 or 2 names on the team sheet?
I'm just checking, because I've got to check with you.
No, Jude Bellingham can play anywhere in that midfield. He can play the 6, he can play the 8, and he can play the 10.
Yeah.
And he could probably play the 9 as well, like he's doing a little bit on and off, in and out for Real Madrid at times. So he could play anywhere in that area. So great players find a way of playing with each other, by the way, right?
That's my hope. I want you to hold on to that, because that's my thoughts on Foden. But go on, carry on.
Foden, in the central areas, for the best team in Europe this season, has been playing centrally and been the guy that they've looked to for inspirational moments to get him results and unlock things. And I'm sitting there going, like, so I don't know. And I like Conor Gallagher. I think he's got a place in that squad right now. But I think that Phil Foden, just on performance only, forget about what you think of him as a talent or whatever, just performance this season, why is he not playing in there? If Gareth's been to them games and seen the way Phil Foden's playing in central areas, how is he not thinking, I've just got to get him in that team and play him in there? Because the kid is doing it at the best team in Europe. Phil Foden is a player, like we've seen, he can play left, he can play right, he can play centre. Like, he'll adapt, yeah? But
he hasn't adapted though, Rio. That's the problem.
Let me finish. He'll adapt, yeah? But to a certain level that the team would allow him to in the right position.
So what is that? Wait. I didn't play Champions League football. Can you please break it down for me, please? The levels. Your levels are too much for me right now.
What do you mean?
Layman terms.
So for instance, he's playing central, right, in the team that he's playing now in England, right? If he plays in it, that would be the strongest part of that team, yeah? Him playing alongside someone like Bellingham, they will find a way to make that work in there. Him, Bellingham and Declan Rice. Putting him out on the left, on his own, isolated after time, right?
All right.
Or the right, whatever you want to say it. But I'm saying, when you play him out in them positions, he's isolated. He's not going to get into the feed of the game. What we've seen, that's what I'm saying, what we've been seeing this year at City has been from central areas where he's involved in the heartbeat of the game constantly. I'm just thinking about, as a manager, if you're seeing that, how does that translate to your England team? I don't understand.
But
it's not
he's this world-class player, or he's in the conversation, that should be adapting. Someone needs to tell me why every time he puts on an England shirt, I'm not seeing half the performances that I see for Man City.
No, but
that's my question.
Let's have it right.
I'm not saying he's a bad player.
Let's have it right. Kevin De Bruyne's been top for time. He ain't the same player for Belgium that he is for Man City.
He's still the main man.
No, but before Hazard was, when Hazard was there. Was he? He weren't, right. But what I'm saying,
questionable.
But what I'm saying is that some players, because of the national team, the way they play sometimes, or where they're played in that team, they ain't going to get to the heights. Maybe Paul Scholes, did he ever play for England the way he played for Man United?
In the beginning, before it all got murky, he did.
But for consistently, we're talking about over career. Like, did he? He didn't.
No.
Facts. No. Do you know what I mean? There's only a couple of players. Michael Owen probably played as well, if not better, sometimes for England. He was one of only a few that done that consistently. Lampard never played the same way for England he played for Chelsea. There are players that this does happen to. Gerrard was never as good for England as he was for... I wasn't.
But isn't that because of the system a lot of the times?
Yeah, the system, the team, the freedom, maybe the shape of the team. Like, it does happen for some players. There's some players... Kane, it's no different.
Yeah.
Bangs goals.
Or Saka.
Saka.
So it's a system issue, basically. You reckon if you get Foden into the right system, you're going to see a replica.
Across the board, with that squad of players that you've got, you could pick a system that decimates teams. But he's in this halfway house, too scared to go full tiki-taka, too scared to go full direct with it. And he sits in this weird sort of halfway house where he picks half a defence that can play a high line and tiki-taka, and half a defence that's a bit more direct and deals with balls into the box. He needs to commit. I think that's the issue with him. Too ready salted and won't go with a hot spicy crisp.
I don't know, you know. I think he's got good enough players, right, to be able to give it to teams any way they want it.
But then he's picking Foden on the right-hand side. To pick Foden on the right-hand side, for him to be effective, you're going to have overlaps.
Bodies around him. That's my point. Isolated.
But the way England's set up, the way they've been effective, the things that have worked, and, okay, I'll get criticism for saying Rashford's been effective at doing this when he's had the opportunity. I wouldn't have said that would have been the case this year. But when you've had flying forwards, if you've got Harry Kane that comes and operates in the nine and a half space, right? The 10.
You need pace around him.
You need
him.
People beyond him. If you play Kane with Foden, every team's just going to go, cool, and just sit here and block you. And you're not going to have any penetration. Do you know the best player on the pitch was for England, in my opinion?
Wait.
Bowen. Because that's who was going to get at people.
He runs beyond
and you
the ball.
Need players that are going to go and do that sort of thing. That's why I'd give Anthony Gordon a little bit more of a go as well. I didn't think he was great overnight.
No, he was.
Jordan Nation well got onto my case because I tweeted as they were taken off that him and Gallagher stunk the place out.
And Chilwell. I don't even think Gordon. I don't even think Gordon. I think Gordon, it wasn't the greatest game, but he wasn't the worst player on the pitch. I think if you're looking at, I said it in the group, I thought from a defensive aspect, I thought Konza was really good. I thought Foden, I was watching him. Especially because of
you expect more because of what you see week in, week out. You expect more.
And also, but I've seen him for England and overall it's been underwhelming, man. Like, don't get me wrong.
England are underwhelming. They don't win fuck all.
You say that, but they've still got to a final and semi-final in the last tournament.
Yeah, that's not winning fuck all. Congratulations.
Yeah, but they've still gone farther, you know. Like, and what I'm saying is, even bringing it back to your Kevin De Bruyne and Hazard argument, if Kevin De Bruyne isn't the main man, he's top two or three.
No, but I'm saying the level is lower, what I'm saying. His level when he plays for Belgium, I don't care, is nowhere near what you see when he's playing for City, and it's consistent.
Bellingham's already played at a level that has blown you away. Like at the World Cup, he was the best player for England.
Mm.
So you know that you can rely on him, I think, going into this tournament. Mm. What you pull your face up?
I see Culture Cams, who's a friend of the channel, speaking the other day. He said something good about Jude the other day. We're expecting Jude to be the Zidane, locksmith, the 10, the guy that goes around and creates fairy tales all the time. Like, this, we're expecting and putting too much on him. I think, listen, he can be a difference maker for this team, 100%. But there has to be a bit where it's not just giving the ball and hope. It's like it's got to be the whole team shape and everything is dictating, and the rhythm of the game is going through a number of players rather than just the one guy. Because I just think it's a disservice to someone like Phil Foden's talent if he's not put in a position to be able to produce where he's producing for his football club.
What did Southgate learn about the team this week? Like I said, so he didn't.
You've got a Foden agenda.
I'm just saying he didn't have one touch in the box, Rio. Is that because of shape, or is that because he should? Sometimes we've got to start holding people.
It sounds like a madness.
No, but I'm just saying sometimes we've got to say he didn't have a good game. We can't just turn around and go, he didn't have a good game. Let's make Southgate in shape. That's what I don't like.
No one's saying he didn't. He was a Superman or he played well. No one's saying that he was brilliant. We're just saying that there are reasons sometimes as to why certain people don't perform. It ain't just always just, oh, he just ain't played well today. Sometimes there is a reason. The point that he made earlier is a good point. Phil Foden is a player, as talented as he is, if you isolate him out on the wing, he needs other teammates around him for him to then produce the magic. He needs an overlap. He needs someone running an inside channel in to create some sort of overload where he can use as decoys and then play to other people or run past people. Do you know what I mean? He's not the guy who's going to get in and just beat people all day long on his own as an out-and-out winger. That's a Saka. No, Saka does that type of stuff, yeah? So that's when you look at the team and go, well, is the team going to support this guy's talent? Or is it all just going to be dependent on him in an area where he's being isolated? That's the difference.
He plays like a central midfielder playing on the wing. Like,
don't disrespect him too much.
No,
though,
no, but he does.
Can we move it off Foden? Because this is getting really
I know,
strange.
But I want to know. I want you guys to watch. No, sorry. We spoke with Kyle Walker a few weeks ago. The video finally came out. He speaks on Phil Foden and obviously him playing in the City team. So please make sure you check it out.
Watch what his teammate says about him.
Yeah.
What Kyle Walker says about Foden.
I'll praise him because I think I've said it before, the best young player I've ever seen, ever. Throughout, you know, that'd be Harry Kane. Ryan Mason, I think, was unbelievable, you know, when he was at Tottenham. Mm-hmm. John Bostock, Dean Parrott, all these players that have come and kind of fell off. He's the best by far. Best by far.
Go back to what did Gareth Southgate learn and what's he going to learn tomorrow against Belgium? So he did this at the last World Cup where he's got all these strikers that he can't trust because he's not played them and then he just plays Kane. So he's learned from that because Ollie Watkins at least got a run out. I don't know if you learnt enough that he could maybe trust him if he doesn't have a Kane. It wasn't a great game
tough,
for him.
Man. And he blazed over the bar and he's like, you know, that those chances that you have to eat up during international.
You have to eat football. It up when you're trying to stake a claim
to be the first sub.
Do you reckon he should have tried Tony?
He will try in this game.
I think he probably will try Tony, but then is 90 minutes enough to judge somebody on? It feels like it's not. And it feels like you've had all these opportunities for years, you fucking bore, right? And you're still figuring, like, what is he trying to do? What is his style of play? What is, he's mishmashing too much. He's got all these talents. Do you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of your era where they just went, let's just pick what on paper is the best team and they'll figure it out. No, here's what you should have done. You probably should have had a midfield of Hargreaves, Carrick and Scholes and got to win the lot because domestically they won a fucking lot and instead you're trying to squeeze
and Lampard, leave Lampard
and fucking Gerrard.
This guy's mad.
Can I just say...
I reckon leave one of them out.
Can I just say,
proves in the medals.
I'm trying to work with the FA to get us to go to their training sessions. You're making it very hard for me at the moment. That's all I'm saying.
Well, they're getting rid of the guy in the summer anyway. Don't worry about it.
No, man, but... you're talking about the number nines in the squad. When you look at it, Harry Kane, if he's not fit, it is a concern because before you talk about the quality of the understudies, they've had no minutes. Mm. Like, they've had no real minutes, and that's the real worry. Like, I look at it, and you think, well, how's the manager going to know who to pick?
Yeah. Callum Wilson's and then Fizzy the Waters are like, in the squad.
I don't know anything about him.
Don't know nothing about Tony. Don't know enough about Ollie Watkins. Don't know enough about Callum Wilson. Like, you look at it and think, raw, like, if Kane does get injured, it's a big problem.
It's not just you miss him as a player. I think our entire style of play is
predicated on
how he plays.
Yeah, it will change.
And fits around him.
Can't play. And all the other strikers, well, Tony you could play into, but the other two you can't really play into.
He don't play, mate, the same way Kane does either.
No. You ain't going to get your turn and put someone in. Yeah. But I don't know. And it leads you to believe that the standard. I remember when I think it was like Euro 96.
Get Jose in.
I think I was Euro 96 and I looked at the strikers. And obviously, going into that tournament, Alan Shearer was on a goal drought for England, I think, of like 12 or so games. It might have been a year or so.
I remember the papers. Yeah. I read them over it.
And him and Teddy Sheringham were the two strikers, yeah? The understudies... The people that didn't even get in the squad as well, but these were the understudies. You had
Andy Cole.
Yeah, Andy Cole didn't get in the squad.
Kevin Campbell.
Les Ferdinand.
Didn't even get a cap.
Kevin Campbell, Les Ferdinand.
Colin Moore was flying.
Chris Fowler Sutton didn't get in the squad.
Robbie Fowler.
That's five there. I'm talking about, and there's more, by the way. There's some big hitters. Yeah. Like, you're thinking, well, we haven't got that depth.
Too early for Heskey, wasn't it?
Yeah. Too early. We ain't got that depth. Like, no way. It's very different in terms of the quality.
And those understudies that you're talking about, understudies, could come in and score goals.
Yeah. Righty. Forgot him.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, Righty.
Yeah. But, yeah, what was your thoughts on Endrick's classy touch about playing at Wembley?
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
He seems to be a kid who, it's almost like the fairy tale career. We're having the introduction now, but it's already been written. Like that fairy tale career.
Seems to get a lot of these.
Yeah, because he's hitting every single note, like on a superstar fairy tale start of a career. Like goes for, plays as like a 10-year-old in the men's league. His dad's caught crying on camera. And then all of a sudden, Real Madrid go and purchase him for 50, 60 million, but leave him there for another year to gain more and more experience.
Finish school.
Scores an unbelievable goal. Have you seen a goal where he touched it with his knee and then bangs it?
I've seen him run through players.
Play the clip.
We always say play the clip. Are we ever going to start playing these
play
clips?
Play that clip because no, that clip is nuts.
Make it a thing.
But then all of a sudden, he goes and plays at Wembley, scores the winner and the big killer one. I dedicate my goal to Sir Bobby Charlton, by the way, because I'm a historian of the game. That's the way he was talking. It's like you couldn't write this script. Yeah, you couldn't write the script.
Mike Tyson vibes.
Yeah, like it's just like who's advising him? Is he really genuinely this type of kid? And he's got his own boot at New Balance. Seen the boot, the gold boot. He's got his own boots, man.
Is he? Yeah. 17.
They even kicked a ball in the La Liga yet in Europe.
I saw the comments. The comments were like, so you saying we Man United fans, so you saying we have a chance in the future?
No, mate.
You see him and Jude gave him the little slap, he turned around and gave him the big hug.
Jude's like the big bro there. He's 19 or 20 or whatever he is. He's a big bro, 20. Yeah,
it's true.
Like crazy.
He fucking runs Real Madrid.
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen anybody do that to that level.
No, the way Tchouaméni was talking to him though was if to say like, listen, bruv, like, know your place.
No, they're boys though. There's
no, I know what I'm saying, but it wasn't like Jude's running the whole gaff and everyone's just in line.
No, I reckon
Tchouaméni, they got a nice click there.
But I think that's a nice click, but I think when it comes down to game time,
Jude.
We're looking at him.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Makalele, Karambo.
Yeah, they were going nuts about
him. They were going.
Remember, we were in a hotel
at
that time.
Yeah, you were there. Steve was there.
They were saying it's not about ability, forget ability, right? Is Claude Makalele, if you don't know about Claude Makalele, we're getting him on soon. Name the whole defensive midfield position around Claude Makalele. Top player. But he said it's not about ability. He said, like, you know, when you go to Madrid, many players shrink. Many players fall away, greats. He said he's gone there and he said the guy's celebrating like this and he's just like doing stuff that it's not normal.
What number was he on? Gizat.
Yeah, give me the number.
You fucking forget about him soon.
Yeah, he's it's different what Jude's doing. And that's why you want to see that with England as well.
I can't
that
lie freedom. I saw a few turns in there that were very Zidane-like, you know. There was a few turns when Jude gets the ball.
He took his boot. I love that they work.
Yeah.
The picture was class, man.
Adidas, I've got to say, shout out Adidas. Adidas are on bits at the moment. Class. They're on bits.
Do you know what? They've just released a Real Madrid Y3 one. And I said ages ago, why don't United ever do something like this? Some mad special edition like Y3.
I think you said it like 10, 15 years ago.
He's sick. We're singing from the same hymn sheet.
Yeah.
I said Man United probably 10 or 12 years ago. I even spoke to the marketing people there that Supreme, when Supreme was fire, like it was like you couldn't get Supreme, you had to queue up around the block to get Supreme. Why are we not doing like a one away, like little exclusive pieces? Because you know, like this, the casual gear, you one who would have bought casual gear, the little collar t-shirts or a little hoodie or jumper.
Yeah, not really the match day.
Yeah, not the match day stuff. You wanted a bit of the cooler stuff. But never done cool stuff.
They've done a big one with the Stone Roses, which...
That's cool. That's cool.
You've nailed
it. But for a very niche market.
Yeah, probably people my age and older.
Yeah, it's a niche market. It's
the kids
old,
that are going to send it viral.
But the people that are buying loads of kits and loads of merchandise nowadays are 30 and below.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I understand the Stone Roses.
Because
do you know that's my favourite song when I went to United?
Which one?
When I heard it. What's it called again? I'm gonna get it.
Do you want me to come out to it or not?
Yeah, what is it? No.
What
Stone Roses.
Sally Cinnamon.
Don't play it, Rio.
Man. I'm not gonna play it. I'm just wanna hear it though. I wanna hear it quickly.
Flip's sake, then
what's it called again?
Copyright.
Stone Roses is my favourite too. I played a game, right? One of my first games of friendly, Amsterdam Arena, away from home. And it came on and I'd heard it at every game. I kept hearing it at United when we was warming up. I said to Buddy, who are these, man? What song is this? And he went, they're for Manchester, man. And I went out and bought all their albums straight away.
You know Ian Brown, the
bad man. I love him. Fool's Gold. Come on, man. Yeah. It's the classic. It's the main song.
Do you know where his season ticket was?
Where?
Four seats behind mine.
I love that guy.
Do you know where we won the title in 2007? They're playing his song. And I never used to be in there for when we used to come out to This Is The One. I always used to come in just after kickoff. But were fucking about. He's absolutely pissing down in it, waiting for the trophy parade in 2007. Turn around, Ian Brown's just going, fucking Manchester. Just think, how mad's this? This is fucking awesome.
Was he like the Manchester goon like guy before Oasis?
A little bit before, yeah. I think Oasis ended up being bigger. He's always bigger, had the more they? Cult sort of cooler kind of following.
Hanger of a tune. Put me on.
I'll send it to you. No. You know, like, yeah. I remember going to Manchester and thinking, like, you've got to get involved in the scene and the see what's going on. And I went and see him. What's the big park there? I went and see him in the park. Oh, bruv. He got me tickets. Yeah, he got me tickets. I was on the side, on the stage.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, fuck's he doing here? Yeah. Don't even like this music.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I like my man. I like him and I like this song. Like, it was a joke, but yeah.
Listen, whilst we're here, Kobe Mainoo makes his debut for England. Obviously this season,
Kobe,
Premier League Kobe, debut, Champions Kobe. League debut and England debut.
Yeah. Sick.
We've got to give the boy props and he's just jumped everyone. You had Curtis Jones, who had a really good season.
Who?
You know,
fuck out of here.
You got. I'm not saying Harvey Elliott deserved the call, but you got Harvey Elliott been on the scene. You know, what's my man, Newcastle player?
The tools.
Miley. There's a clip of some fucking helmet going. Coming manager's the fucking B-Tech Miley. Oh, that's gonna age like milk, my friend.
Do you know what?
Do you think, Rio, there is a Man United badge bias when it comes to players playing for their club?
Do your eyes not fucking work?
I'm asking Rio.
You tell me when you see an 18-year-old child just cutting about the gaff the way Kobe Bryant does. You don't see
Steve,
it.
Steve, he's
he
bad.
Is unique.
Steve, he's bad.
My man, I don't think he even wears studs. I just think he just glides around the pitch the way he moves.
I've seen him run about a fortnight ago. Mate, first time. He walks about the gaff like Berbatov.
He's
in centre mid.
Do you know the biggest thing about him, the biggest compliment I can give him, and I've said it a couple of times, is that he transfers the same habits, the same performance level from all the age groups I've seen him play. So when he's played under 18s, he's doing, for England, for Man United at Old Trafford, what he was doing, I see him doing for the 18s and for the 23s. That's the sign of somebody you can bank on a little bit and you can have a bit more confidence and be a little bit more wavy with your analysis of a player, because you don't get fazed by individuals or occasions.
Were you like that? Sorry.
No, I did. I would have got phased. I wasn't. He just seems a bit cooler about it. Like he expects this of all of himself. I think I did in a way, but I don't think mine translated as easy as the way he's is yet. I was like 22, 23 before everyone was saying that, right, he looks accustomed to international football. But he's doing that. He's 18 years old. I think my debut was just after days after my 19th birthday, right? But this kid is like, he's only played a handful of games, 15 games for United, and he goes straight to England. It's mad.
And does 20 passes, 20 completed, doing tricks, pulling moves out, just looking absolutely.
But I think he is like a, there's players that jump out of nowhere, out of the background and get into a squad. Theo Walcott done it.
I don't think Walcott was doing anything like he's doing.
No, I think
it was on the chance of how young he was. And
nor do I. But I think that there's always one or something like that happens. I think Kobe's that guy. Because I think his temperament overrides everything as well, by the way. Because I think Gareth can go, you know what? I've seen players who I relied upon, who other managers have relied upon, who everybody expected to go and do well at Man United, who have stuttered for whatever reason. The badge, the club, has become a little bit heavy for them. This is 18 years old. Roaming around Old Trafford like he's at goals. Chilling. Yeah. So,
big respect to him.
Yeah.
Many more cats for him to come.
Said through gritted teeth.
Last topic I want to focus on is Southgate going to United, because it looks like it's happening.
Nope,
before
next.
We do that, I want to give a massive shout out to Mr. Anton Ferdinand. Can you come on really quickly? Mr. Take on himself.
Big shows on Wednesdays.
He's in. You got a big one, innit? Like,
what you got?
Just come on, take on, innit? Like, just tune in and you'll see. How are you feeling about everything? All good?
Why don't you get a chair? What are you standing up for? Steve's got a train to catch.
Steve's doing this. He's been doing this for the last 5 minutes, going like that, giving me the Fergie time. You might as well finish this off, Steve. Southgate going to Man United. Are you looking forward to it, yes or no?
It seems like the Daily Star are the only ones pushing it.
Really?
And I hope that's the case, because honestly, he got an England job on the back of doing fuck all, just being near the photocopier when they were looking for the right? He's done fuck all in 8 years since he's had the England job. Apart, sorry, he did get him relegated. I did remember. I forgot that, right? Outside of that, what has he done? What has he done? Has he ever won a game tactically? Has he ever won a game he was meant to lose?
I get the tactical side of it, but you're not looking at it like your club at the moment needs someone who's brought, like, the way he brought the camaraderie to England.
It's not scouts group where you need everyone to get on.
You need a fucking guy
who's a fucking winner. You needed a disciplinarian. We got a disciplinarian. He's fucking off all the bad eggs. He's only got another 12 months on his contract. There's going to be so much upheaval in the back room of the football club. Why would you change something you don't necessarily need to change? Get Ineos lads in. Let them do their intel. Let him see out his last 12 months for the club. And then you can identify if he's the right man, if he's not the right man. And then you can actually spend the whole next 12 months figuring out who's going to replace him rather than just fucking bring Gareth Southgate.
Would you not take Southgate? Even if they won the Euros and he said, thanks, guys, and then would you take him or not?
He ain't going to win us the Euros.
No. I'm saying hypothetically.
If England win the Euros, it's because Jude fucking Bellingham decided that England was going to win the Euros. Mm. Not because of anything Gareth Southgate's done.
So you just wouldn't take him regardless?
Why would you take him, Rio? His record in the Premier League is like 33%, wasn't it?
That was then,
though. No, that was 8 years ago.
All right.
He's improved as a man. I agree with what Anton said. There's going to be negatives that everyone's going to say, oh, this, that, or the other, they don't like about him. But one thing I will say, he does know how to cultivate a good environment, a good working environment.
Right, so he's a good assistant manager potentially.
Get the best out of Maguire, because you know he's going to be playing a lot.
No, international football's different.
It's different.
Anyway, listen.
Yeah, on that note, listen. If you thought that it was bad with the European Super League protest, fucking watch what happens if you keep linking Gareth Southgate.
Make sure you keep on watching Vibe with Fire. We've got the take on this Wednesday with Anton Flex. Flex is wearing glasses now, by the way, on shows. Why don't anyone get onto
Flex? Why?
Because you lot beat Liverpool, that's why.
Oh, shades. Wearing shades.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And Abby Summers as well, awful. Coming back.
I've got one question. I asked Flex on the take on. I'm going to ask you guys. Because a few of my friends that are Man United fans were giving it when Sir Jim come in, Mbappe and all that, because he's got deep pockets. And Nari's come out and said, I don't want to go and buy these players. I'd rather create them with enough. How do you feel about that? Because a lot of fans were the other way, where they're going, we're gonna go and buy it.
Listen, I have to say right now, we'd take Mbappe. There's no way we wouldn't. I would love to see Mbappe at Man United in a red shirt, but I do love the fact that he's talking about generating his own superstars from under the roof at Carrington or buying really early and young. I like that. But we'll see. I think if someone like that come available, if the FFP's right, it'd be stupid to not take it up. But I think your first instance, you go to create your own. I like that. You?
Built not bought. That's the entire philosophy.
Yeah, you can go now on that note. Well done.
I remember people outside train stations
actually going
waiting for the Qataris to come in. Do you guys remember that in a bit?
See you later, mate.
Waiting for the Qataris. Do you remember that, Anton? Yeah. Saying the Qataris are coming in because the Qataris will spend all the money. Do you remember that, Ria?
Bro, I'll have to unload on my guy who gave me the info. Yeah. I don't use him no more, by the way. Don't use him.
Finally, Steve's just left.
What
are the two tunes you've been playing on your Spotify list this week?
Well, today I played Fool's Stone Roses.
Yeah.
Fool's Gold.
Yeah.
Go and get that. If you want to know what Manchester feels like and what it smells like for a song, Fool's Gold by the Stone Roses. Banger. Absolute banger. Whatever genre of music you're into. The other one, what I've been playing, some obscure music, you know. Different music.
Yeah.
Not obscure, but it's just different.
Different.
To what people might... Do you know, have you heard of Dex Adapts?
Yeah.
Owner.
Oh, yeah?
Bad Boy tune.
Okay.
For you, man, that don't know, get to know.
Yeah. I've been on...
What are you thinking about all this beef in hip-hop at the moment?
I was going to say, I've been listening to Future. Future and Kendrick Lamar. That tune?
Oh, yeah.
I'm there like this, real.
I'm just waiting for Drake. What Drake's gonna come out?
Yeah.
J. Cole, more importantly.
I was gonna say, cool. Drake is one thing. It's J. Drake. Cole. I think J. Cole, that's the battle I wanna see.
If it hit a nerve with J. Cole, I think it's over for anyone.
I don't know, you know. That's what I'm waiting to see. So Kendrick and J. Cole for me.
J. Cole's the best rapper.
You reckon?
The best rapper.
And ain't Bugsy.
Oh, yeah. Whoa! What happened there? You know Stormzy?
Sorry, because Tom was saying that the
microphone. Ain't what about Bugsy calling that Stormzy?
But is he though? Because I was on Made You Think 101, and apparently they're saying that maybe he has, maybe he hasn't. It's a watch this space kind of vibe.
Yeah, I just
is this your continue to get backstage passes talking? Or?
No, I'm being dead serious. Like, you can see it in the caption. Like, I have no idea what's happened. I found out this morning.
I don't know full details.
I'm
texting Stormy after the show. Yeah. Stormzy's getting texts after the show. Yeah, I need to know.
We're not sure what's going on.
I don't know Bugsy Malone. I see him the other day at the Brits.
Yeah.
And he seems like a straight, normal like guy. Like, the chat rooms are going nuts. I'm not. I don't like personal stuff.
Yeah.
I just want it to be about hip hop or rap or grime, or just be you man to man.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie.
We have to wait and see.
Okay. So anyway, that's on our Spotify list this weekend.
What's the song you're listening to at the moment? Every party that we have, a family party, this guy over there
sings
as a mic and sings.
I don't go. Wait, can we clarify?
The bottle of beer comes out and he starts singing to the beer.
No, let's clarify.
Go on.
I never ever go, can I take the mic, please? I always get asked to sing.
No, you're hovering around the DJ.
Never.
Bro, give me the mic. Never. Donnell Jones pops out, H-Town.
He's talking about himself,
you know what I mean, mate? I can't sing.
I know, but as we've seen, he likes to get on the mic and spit a few bars.
No, he does a few. I've seen him. The Kano one that floats around.
I'm more of a grime guy.
Yeah.
But I will get on the mic and bust two tunes.
No, I reckon you should do a song. I'd like to see you do a song, I've got to be honest. He can hold a note. I ain't going to lie. He can hold a note. Yeah. He can.
To be fair, I said to Youngin, I said, when you want me to sing a hook, I'm there for you.
Oh, love
you
it.
See, Anthony Alanga's got some vocals. Did you see that?
Yeah, I see that. Yeah. Anana,
yeah.
Anana.
Decent.
Mm-hmm.
I see Uso spitting some bars the other day. It won't be.
Yeah, he's been doing music still.
Is he good?
He's all right. He's okay.
Okay.
He's my guy. He's okay.
Have they got bars? These boys got bars, like, can they spit? Memphis Depay, he's the one who's like...
He's all right, to be fair.
He's bars there.
He's all right, to be fair. But yeah, we've got... You know what? Why don't we get Awobi on the show? On the channel?
Yeah. We should do a top five current players.
Yeah.
Songs and let's rate them.
Let's do something.
In the comments, shout out to the players who've got songs out, please.
All right, guys. Also, what else?
Say my song.
Oh, sorry. Go on, bro.
Keisha Cole, Love.
Oh, this boy is a lover man. He's a lover man. Mr. Lover man. Mr. Lover man. You know? Shabba.
Yeah. Look
at Shabba over there.
No more.
Do you know about Keisha?
He don't know about Keisha Cole. He don't. The way he didn't react to it, I know he don't know about her.
Keisha Cole.
Yeah, go on then. What's her best song?
Please.
What's her best song?
Guys.
What's her best song?
Let's end this.
He's ending
the
show.
Let's end this now.
Right.
Have a good one. Make sure you subscribe. We got Carl Walker interview. We got Take On. Heads Gone. The whole lot.
Who's the best right back in the game right now? Carl Walker answers it. Go and check out the interview.
Cheers. In a bit.